around you. I want you to see the people that are sitting in those seats. The ones next to you on your row. See the people that are sitting in those seats. See the people that are sitting in those empty seats. That's the thing unseen right now. We got a lot of seats in here that have unseen people in them. Now, let me ask you this. If everyone won one, what would we have next December? If everyone won one, seems like we'd have twice the number we got now. And so I'm challenging us not to just sit and wait, but to be doing something. Sowing a seed. Watering a seed has already been sowed. Smiling at somebody that really needed it. Sharing a word with someone that didn't even look like they cared about listening, but God tenderized their heart with it. You know, we haven't run out of people. There's not a shortage of people out there that need to be in church. Need to be in the kingdom of God. You know, things are going to change. There's going to be a lot of changes. A lot of them have already started to happen. But you're going to see things change this year. And I was sitting over thinking now, we got a visual effect of it right now. See, the praise and worship team has already showed us things are changing. Doesn't it look good up there this morning the way it's sitting? And I'll tell you what. I think before the service started, somebody, I won't say who, was concerned that there weren't any more singers than what she had this morning. But you know, I don't know about you, but I couldn't tell anything was missing. I mean, you know, there was a lot of voices that weren't there, but the ones that were there were getting it done. See, that's our purpose. Our purpose is to get it done. There's a verse of scripture where we're going to start. You know it. You might not know it from the reference, but you know it if you know much about the Bible. And it's one that a lot of people that probably don't know much about the Bible actually know this verse. It's in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose under heaven. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. That word time there. See, there's some Hebrew and Greek words that you can translate the same way into English. In other words, there's Hebrew words for time, more than one Hebrew word for time. But a lot of times when it's translated into English, it's just translated time. So you don't know what kind of time it's talking about. But this particular word, particular usage here in the Hebrew, and a time for every purpose under heaven, is a word that means short bursts of time. Short periods of time. Something going on for a short period of time. It's a short period of time for every purpose under heaven. Now, does that change that or amplify that a little bit? There's a short time for every purpose under heaven. There's a moment for every purpose under heaven. Now, that being the case, doesn't it kind of say to us that we just can't sit around waiting for a purpose to happen? Because if we don't get on with that purpose at the point of time that it's coming, we may miss it forever. Now, everything has a purpose. Not everything that happens was necessarily God's will, but it has a purpose. I mean, some of the stuff that I went through last year, it had a purpose. The devil's purpose was to kill me and get me out of the way. That was his purpose. There's things that you're going to experience that the purpose of those things might be something that you don't want. But if you trust God, He can change the purpose of those things and deliver you from. Don't sit around waiting for your purpose to show up. Start doing something, moving toward your purpose. You know, if you go to work for someone in a company or an individual or whatever, if you go to work in a business, maybe you came in on the ground level. You don't want to stay on the ground level. You want to get promoted. You like to keep moving on up the line. Do you know what's absolutely necessary for that to happen to you? You got to serve your purpose. If you go in on the bottom level, you're a minimum wage employee. For you to get any higher than that, you're going to have to serve your purpose. You're going to have to serve your purpose so that the people that are around you and over you will see that they can move you up and do it with confidence. There's a lot of people, for some reason or other, are sitting around waiting until their big purpose hits. And they're not taking advantage of the things that are happening right now. You know, you can't walk into a business and say, well, you want a job? Yeah, I want to be president. I'd like to be executive vice president. You got an opening? They might not have an opening then, but if you get in on that ground level and you fulfill your purpose, then they'll move you up to the next level, and then you know what you got to do? Fulfill your purpose. And if there's another level, you move you up to, what you got to do? Fulfill your purpose. You know, you don't get promoted through anything so that you can have less to do. I want to be president of the company. They go out and play golf and this and that. And they, yeah, but they're also responsible for making sure that company stays in existence. They may have a time now and then where they can go out and play golf, but they've still got the responsibility of that company. Now, let's look at this idea of purpose. I'm going to use three Old Testament examples. The first one I want to use is Abraham. We first find out something going on with Abraham. We find out that God gave him purpose. God gave him a purpose. His first purpose: get up and leave home. Well, I don't want to do that. Okay, then sit there. So Abraham listened to God, and he left home. And the Lord said, go to a land that I'll show you. Okay, what's your purpose, Abraham, to go to another land? What are you going to do when you get there? Don't know. I'm just going. That's my immediate purpose right now, is to go. It's like school. What's your purpose of going to school? The purpose of going to school is not what it's going to do for you right now. Your purpose of going to school is what it's going to do for you later. But see, it's no fun sometimes right now. Man, I hate that arithmetic. Geography, I never was. I can't remember where nothing is. All those things. What are they for? What in the world? I don't know why I have to do this. Well, just hang around and you'll find out down the road. And I found out one thing in all the school that I went to. Long years. And I found out that one thing, you'll learn a little bit of stuff, but the greatest thing you learn is how to learn. Then when you're out by yourself, you know what to do. So anyway, Abraham's first purpose was to leave home. And he left home and he wandered and he wandered and he wandered. And God made him a promise. Said, I'm going to make you a great and mighty nation. I'm going to give you a seed. That's good. And he waited and he waited and he waited and he waited. And finally, he got the seed. And then when the seed was reaching young man status, God said to Abraham, I want you to take your boy and I want you to go to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him to me. Now, couldn't Abraham have looked at God and said, what's the purpose of that? You promised me an heir. I got this one boy. Now you want me to take him over there and kill him? I don't see much purpose in that. But you know, the Bible says that Abraham did what God asked him to do. What was the purpose? Abraham might have been thinking the purpose was to kill Isaac. But God's purpose was just to see if he was faithful. God, why would you ask me to kill my son? And what did Abraham say to his boy when they got over there? And Isaac looked around, he said, well, we got everything except the sacrifice. What are we going to do about the sacrifice? The Lord will provide for himself a sacrifice. You see, God will never ask you to do anything that he will not supply what's necessary to do it. What was Abraham's purpose? His immediate purpose was a testing. And we're not going to spend a lot of time looking at every point in Abraham's life, but his purpose was to be the father of a nation that would bring forth the Savior of mankind. He was a long time seeing that purpose. And he would have never seen that purpose if he'd have just paid no attention to the immediate purposes. You know, it's just like, you can say I do at a wedding. And the purpose of saying I do is to become husband and wife. And you reach that purpose. But are you done? We fulfill the purpose of becoming a husband and wife. Now what do we do? we work on the next purpose. We spend our time developing together. Now, here's a real example of purpose. Joseph. There was a boy that you could say was different. His father spoiled him, his brothers didn't like him. And it came into a conflict. And his brothers decided that he was such a nuisance and such an oddball, they were going to get rid of him. So according to their purpose, they sold him to the Ishmaelite. And they took him to Egypt as a slave. What's the purpose of that? That's one purpose that I just soon stay away from. But what did Joseph do when he got down there? He got bought by Potiphar. What he was supposed to be doing, he did it, and he did it well. He was a slave. Potiphar was his master. He did what Potiphar said. Because at that point, regardless of what the circumstances were, that was his purpose. His purpose wasn't there to grumble, complain, and moan, and groan, and do all that. His purpose was there for God to use him, and God used him. So well did Joseph fulfill his purpose with Potiphar that he got promoted to head of everything in the household except one thing. And that was Potiphar's wife. Because when she came and tried to seduce Joseph, he said to her, "Look, I've been given authority over everything in this house. My master has put me in charge of everything. The only thing he's withheld from me is you. And now here you are trying to mess this up." And she couldn't get him to change his purpose. Because he knew that his purpose in doing all this was still serving God. Purpose is to serve God, to do it the right way. And then she lied on him and got him thrown in prison. Now, what's the purpose of that? God, this has just gone from bad to worse. You know, that's the way we take everything that happens, and if we don't like it, we get all out of shape with God over it. You're going to have some stuff that's going to come your way that you're not going to want. That's just the nature of the devil. That's the nature of life on this planet. And it'll either destroy you or it'll make you stronger. And the way that you choose the side is to see the purpose. There's a purpose. I guess last year I went through what I went through and I did not see 40 years of ministry. Just winding up and shutting down. You know, I was really affected last week when we found out about the death of Brother Al Grahusky. I mean, he was a buddy. I mean, I could talk to him on a level that couldn't do it with everybody. And I knew that when the last few times that he came here to minister, that he was fighting some stuff. And you know, if you were here when he was here, you know what I'm talking about. But did you know he never would talk about it? I mean, sometimes just out of concern for him, I want to know exactly, you know, what we need to do for you, is there something special we can do? And he'd tell me, he'd talk about it as little as he possibly could. So we finally found out that didn't you tell me it was between Christmas and New Year's? Between Christmas and New Year's that he went to be with the Lord. What? But things had gotten so bad, and I told you about the situation where his wife left him because everything tried to burn the house down. And she was bipolar, and it was a big mess. And he got to where he couldn't do anything for himself, and so he had nobody. And he was in a care home somewhere in Illinois. And we just happened to that Clifton Coulter knew a fella that knew Al Grahusky. And that's how we found out about it. And but I looked at him, looked at me, and then that question mark comes up. God, I really don't know that I understand this. Because if I were, and pardon the way I say this, but if I were a gambling man, and Al Grahusky and I were going through what we were going through, I'd have put my money on him to make it, not me. And you know, I don't have a pat answer. Because I was around that man enough to know that I didn't see much wrong with his faith. And I've been around me long enough. Sometimes I wonder about me. You ever wonder about yourself? And then you got to cast that out and say, get back to your purpose now. And then Joseph went to prison, and Joseph served his purpose there in prison, and then finally, you know, with the circumstances being what, got out of prison because he interpreted the king's dream or the Pharaoh's dream. And then what did he do? He kept fulfilling his purpose. And he kept going up and up and up and up, purpose after purpose after purpose, until he finally reached the final purpose. And the final purpose wasn't even to deliver the kingdom of Egypt. His final purpose was to get where he got so he could take care of his family. God had a purpose. Now, don't sit around and try to figure out what your final purpose is. Start working on the purpose you have right now. Because if you don't work on the one you got now, you'll never get to the final one. If Joseph had messed up and been overcome by the seduction of Potiphar's wife, he'd have never made it to the second ruler in the kingdom. And I know, I see people all the time sitting around waiting for their ship to come in. They haven't even built a dock for it to land at yet. And then there's King David. Samuel comes out while he's tending the sheep and anoints him king. Wow, what a purpose. But what in the world did David have to go through before he got to that point? He had to face a giant and kill him. He had to run for his life from the king, Saul, trying to kill him. And I don't know anywhere in there, I don't remember reading it, where David got before God and said, God, you anointed me king. This guy, King Saul, trying to kill me. You need to do something. You need to get him off my back. David, just be faithful. You just do what I tell you to do. Boy, David went through a mess of stuff before he reached his purpose. Now, one other example. Scriptures are in the bulletin if you want to look there instead of going through them in your Bible. First one's Matthew 26:39. He, that's talking about Jesus, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Matthew 26:39. And then in John 12:27, he says this. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Jesus is saying there's a purpose for what I'm going through right now. If I avoided this hour, I wouldn't be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Now, when you stop to think about that, now remember, this, catch what I'm saying. He said, for this purpose, I came to this hour. But that hour wasn't the end of it. It had to happen. There was a purpose for it that must be complete before we can go to the next purpose. You know, now listen to everything I say, because you know, if you don't hear it right, you could think I'm talking heresy. Okay? Jesus' purpose when he came to this earth was not to become a man. But that was something that had to happen before we could get to the real purpose. And Jesus suffered the things that he suffered. Because there was a purpose. The fulfilling of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah. And he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he was betrayed by Judas. Again, so that the prophecies of the Old Testament Messiah could come to pass in him. But it still wasn't the purpose. And then they hung him on a cross. And as much as we hold to the sanctity of the cross, I mean, we wear it around our neck, we put it on the top of the churches, we do everything. That had to be. There was a purpose for it, but it was not the purpose. And they laid him in the tomb. And he was in there 3 days. And he rose again. And that was purposeful. But it still wasn't the purpose. It was just something that had to happen in order to get to the purpose. The scripture, 1 John 3:8. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You realize that the ultimate purpose of Jesus Christ's earthly life was to destroy the works of the devil. Look at the first line. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. Okay, so what's the devil's work? Sinning. So what did Jesus destroy? Sin. He didn't do away with his existence in the world, but he destroyed its ability to control you. He destroyed its ability to affect our lives. We no longer have to sin just because it's our nature. See, we got a new nature. The purpose of Jesus Christ was to bring that new nature. And you know, those disciples, particularly the last few weeks and the last few days and the time between the burial and the resurrection, I imagine that they had all kinds of things that they had to deal with in their minds. Looking back at all this and looking back at the good days, the days when he's walking on the water, the days when he's raising the dead, days when he was healing the sick, doing miracles. Boy, I remember all them, but my God, look what this has come to. He's dead. What purpose is there in now? You know, Peter almost lost his purpose. I really think that's what happened when he told him, I'm going fishing. I'm going back. Well, what? I don't see anything going on. It's over, boys. And then he had an encounter with Jesus out there on the seashore and rediscovered his faith. He rediscovered his faith. And Jesus gave him purpose again. He said, Peter, you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. His purpose was restored. And that's what Peter spent the rest of his life doing. Feeding the sheep. Don't let the things that you don't like keep you from achieving the things that God has for you. I didn't like last year. But I tell you what, it's January 2013, and you know, I have a purpose for being here. There is a reason why I'm still standing after all I went through last year. God's going to do some things. And I tell you what, every one of you, and some more people besides, will get to be a part of what God's purpose is. All you got to do is just remember, I have a purpose. I have a purpose. The last scripture. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. According to His purpose. God takes the worst thing that you can imagine and through His renown makes it come out with you ahead. You look at all that Joseph went through. You look at all that Abraham went through. You look at what Daniel went through. You just look, you know, through the Bible, the things that people went through. And if you did, and if you think that's not enough, then go to the 11th chapter of Hebrews and finish reading the whole chapter of what they all did by faith. Some of them died by the faith they had. Now think about that. What'd you take more faith to do? Die if somebody tells you to deny the Lord? Or to deny the Lord. In that situation, it takes more faith to die than it does to live. Because you can give up your faith and live. But if you've got any faith, you'll die for it. Push comes to shove. Every one of the disciples except John died some martyr's death. There was purpose in it. There was purpose in it, or it wouldn't have happened. And you can't just say, well, you know, if Peter had more faith, they wouldn't have crucified him upside down. He died of old age. Yes. Well, they wouldn't have burned Paul at the stake, lit him up like a light. What they say, Nero made a torch out of him. If he had enough faith, God would deliver him. Just take the faith you have and walk in God's purpose. You know, I remember the movie Through Gates of Splendor. Any of y'all seen that? met the missionaries and went to, in South America, to the Aki Indian. Take the gospel to them, and all of them ended up getting murdered out there on the beach on the edge of the river. And you know what happened after that? Their wives went back and preached the gospel. And the Aki Indians saw that if these women had something that showed enough love for them that they could come down there to do good to them, knowing that they had deliberately and willfully murdered their husbands and their family members, that there must be something to what they're talking about. See, I think that's an example where all things work together for good to them to know, love the Lord, and are called according to His purpose. Those missionaries got killed. It's not for me to, you know, I mean, I can have my opinion. I've got my opinion. But I can't explain my opinion and everything that happened. Sometimes all we can do is trust God. Now, I'm not saying God sent them down there. Said, well, I'm going to send them down there to get killed so we can win them later. People make choices. The devil's still influencing people. He'll influence you if you listen to him. But you don't have to listen. Because we got something better. We've been delivered from sin. We have been delivered from sin and we're under the grace of God. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, I don't want to say this. Well, I'll just go ahead and say it. There's a lot of churches whose people are still in bondage because they have taught them that Jesus died for their sins and died to forgive them, which is true. But they never hear that he destroyed the works of the devil. What they hear is, now get out here and hold on until Jesus comes back. Hold on until you die. You know, watch out for, you know, the devil. He's going to come around, you know. He's going to do this and he's going to do that. Get saved now. Go out and live better. You can't go out and live better unless you have a consciousness that the sin that was destroying you first has been beaten. And a lot of people think that they come in to get forgiven for their sins, and when they walk out the door, they start loading up on it again. And what we really need to understand is the sin has no dominion over me anymore. If I do something that's sin, it's covered by the blood of Jesus. Doesn't mean I just go out here and willfully do it, because there's sins that if I go and willfully do, I'm going to die. But I can walk free from it because he destroyed the works of the devil. See, sin, look at it this way. Sin was a yoke that had you yoked to evil. You ever seen a yoke when old oxen, you know? When if they got the yoke on, they both yoked each other, and one of them not going, one of the other don't go. And when we were without Christ in this world, we were yoked to evil. And no matter which way we went, the evil went with us. We either led the evil or the evil led us. And Jesus came into our lives and he broke the yoke. Now we're not forced to follow evil. Or we're not forced to take evil with us. We've been set free from it. And so, whatever you think you're supposed to be doing. Get on with it. Because right now it's your purpose. If your purpose is to finish school, fulfill your purpose. If your purpose is to get married, make it a good one. Because you'll have another purpose to come along. First little bundle of joy that comes along. Now your purpose is to be a good parent. Now all of these things God helps us in. You know, becoming a pastor. That's not my end purpose. I got a higher purpose than that. I'm purposed to be like Jesus. And you know, I can be like Jesus whether I pastor or not. I can be a secretary and be like Jesus. I can be a worker in a factory and be like Jesus. But the awesome thing, is that our ultimate purpose is to fellowship with God. That's what we do forever. See, one of these days I'll quit preaching. But I'll never quit fellowshipping with God. We'll quit singing, but we'll never quit fellowshipping with God. We'll give up our millions of dollars if we have it. We'll never finish fellowshipping with God. Everything leads to that. Every purpose is one step on the road to the ultimate purpose, which is being like Jesus Christ. And abiding in the fellowshipping presence of the Lord God Almighty. That's my purpose. That's my purpose, and I'm sticking to it. Make it your purpose, and you stick to it. Let's stand. Don't you bow your heads, close your eyes. Don't you pray this prayer with me. If you don't want to pray it, you don't have to, but I'd like for you to. We're going to pray about purpose. Dear Heavenly Father, I stand here before you this morning with my life in front of me. Many choices I'm going to have to make. And those choices are going to determine my purpose. And I purpose this morning to listen to your voice, to be led by your Spirit, and make the right choices. And I will keep pursuing the things of the kingdom of God until I come to that perfection in total fellowship. Lord, I thank you for doing all that you did to make all this possible for me. I just affirm it this morning, and I thank you. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now go out here with some purpose. Find a purpose and pursue it. Amen. God bless you.